Hello, Tony.
David, is that you, mate?
It is indeed, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. Are you live? Sorry, am I cutting in
there? Yeah, no, we're well live, mate. No, you're on, and you're with us all in the studio. We've got Dan Wilson, Mr. Essex Footy in the studio. We've got Ray Dyer, who's, if you don't know, he's the line dancing champion of Essex. And also, as well, we've also got somebody he was with last night as well. Mr. Nick Robinson's with us as well.
Oh, I'm fed up with him.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Nick, how are you? Right.
Very good, thank you, yeah.
I was just about thawed out from last night.
I mean, results for Wharton Casuals, then, they're starting to pick up.
They are, thankfully. I think we've climbed out the bottom three now. I don't like looking at the league tables, or I've been afraid to get the non-league paper every Sunday for about the last 4 months, but I might get it this Sunday because someone's told me we're out the bottom three. So at last I can get it and be glad when I'm reading we're out that bottom three, because as the boys in the studio I know, getting relegated, it would be horrible.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, you're 3 points clear of the bottom three now as well.
That's only one game, Dave. I mean, it's taken ages to get to this position, to be fair. We had no points after 10 games. We had the worst record in the country. And obviously, we made the changes then. But the changes have been for the best. And as Nick will bear testimony to, last night we beat South Park, who was seventh. And we were by far the better side. And I was really pleased with that, because it's not just about results, it's about performances as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that if you continue to play the way you did last night, then you're certainly going to move away from that bit at the bottom.
Yeah, it was difficult conditions last night, Nick, wasn't it? I mean, obviously they had the wind in the first half, and when the pitches are really tacky like non-league pitches are at the moment, it's very difficult to get out your own half, and the keeper was kicking the ball, it was nearly coming back to him, but in the second half, we played further up the pitch, 30, 40 yards, obviously, with a breeze, and we took control. But unfortunately, Mr. Robinson was talking to me half the time, so I only saw half the game.
But you only ever see half the game anyway. Normally, the Wharton Casuals side of the game.
That's right, mate. Yeah, it was good. So I enjoyed your company last night. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, and you.
So, I mean, I suppose now then it's all... how confident you are, I suppose you'll be looking at playoffs now, won't you, Tony?
Well, it's funny. Yeah, we had a couple of red wines last night. We started talking about it. We got carried away, yeah. Because I tell you what, though, Merstham and Nick, you know, they had a great run about this time last season. They went unbeaten, and they got in the playoffs under Aidan Burden. And Aidan was there last night and reminded us about that. But, I mean, that's old pie-in-the-sky stuff. I just want to stay out this bottom three at the moment. But the way we're playing, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the fixtures from the last few weeks since like the 20th of December and over Christmas, you've got four wins.
Yeah, we have, and even when we've been beaten, we were beaten at Carl Shorten the other Saturday, and I went to the game because I was lucky enough that, you know, when I work on Sky, obviously I can't watch the games on a Saturday, but it was a cup weekend, I was able to go to the game, and we outplayed Carl Shorten and lost 2-1 in the last minute. And even the games we've lost and drawn against Faversham and Peacehaven, it's been like last minute goals, Folkestone, and it drives your potty. And then all of a sudden we score one goal against Walton and Hersham in the derby in the last minute, and everything was forgiven. But it's a great league. I mean, sometimes the quality isn't as good as it should be, but we've always got to remember the pitches that we're playing on. And that'll be another thing to talk about. You know, obviously artificial pitches, because about this time of year, many games get postponed. And I was never an advocate for artificial pitches, but with non-league, I think it's got to come.
Well, I'm just looking at the actual form table from football web pages, and you're, if you looked at that, I think you'd be even better, more pleased. You're up to ninth.
Yeah, I mean, It's a funny league, because people have little good runs, have spells, four or five wins on the trot, and you think, oh, they're doing well. But it's a league, to its credit, where anyone can beat anyone. I think Burgess Hill were having a great season this season, and obviously I just mentioned Aidan's side, Merstham as well. They're doing ever so well, and the other big sides. But they're all beatable. We feel like we go into those games and we can beat them, and so do the other sides. And I think that's the beauty of the Ryman's football. And sometimes the conditions are a bit of a leveler. You know, when you're playing Premier League football, I'm commentating on that every week, there's never a muddy pitch. Every pitch is pristine and beautiful. And so sometimes, you know, there's never such a thing now as, say, oh, you're going up north on a cold Saturday. It doesn't work out because the pitches are beautiful. So wherever you're playing, it's always the same. But in non-league, because the pitches, you have different seasons. At the start of the season, the pitches are nice and lush. And then in the winter, you've got the muddy pitches. And then in the summer, there's no grass and it goes bone hard. It's like playing three different types of football throughout a season. And I tell you what, it's wonderful to watch.
I mean, we've been speaking to Martin a couple of times since I spoke to you last, Martin Tyler, as well. And I think one of the things that comes across from yourself, from Martin, and it will come across, I dare say, from Matt later on as well, is the mass enthusiasm that, you know, what I would class as sort of superstars in the game that have now gone onto the TV, that are giving up their time, you know, and their efforts in that into non-league football and into Rima League football. It really is sort of, for me anyway, as a sort of newcomer to it all, really refreshing to hear the you know, the sort of enthusiasm that you've got for Wharton Casuals and the South Division, that Matt's got with Guernsey and also for the South Division, and Martin for the, you know, for the Premier as well. It's fantastic to hear.
Well, Martin Tyler, I work with on Sky. Martin's obviously one of the best commentators who's ever been on telly, and I just found it amazing the time that he gives up to, you know, in cahoots with Alan Dowson. They're now at Hampton and Richmond. They were at Kingstonians. They were at Walton and Hersham together. You know, and when I'm commentating with Martin, I mean, when we got a day off, I say, "What are you doing on your day off, Martin?" He says, "I'm going to football." And I say, "Yeah, I'm going to football as well." Because football's your life, isn't it? It is your life. And, you know, when you see the professional side of football, which I've been part of all my life, and the TV, and then you see this side of football when people were doing it for nothing, not the players, I'm talking about the people in and around the football clubs and the community. And again, Nick will bear that in mind, because we're going through a thing where we're having a new stadium built and other clubs have had built. And it just brings community. And, you know, I grew up in a community. I was lucky. I grew up in London. I was playing playground football. Kids don't get to have it now because of the lack of facilities. If we can get more facilities, and we can, we're having that at Walton with our facility, you know, what better is there to go and see kids play on a Sunday morning? Your grandkids, your kids, your nephews, whatever. Even your nieces now, because there's women's football. You know, it's brilliant to watch. And particularly in our area, we got like 350, 375 kids, disabled kids playing, women's teams playing. It's terrific. You know, and you go out on a Sunday morning. My Sunday mornings when I was a kid growing up was play football in the morning, play football in the afternoon, and then sit outside the pub waiting for me dad with a bag of crisps and a Coke in the end. That was the way to grow up. You can't do it now, obviously, but there is a way of having that community stuff around still. And non-league holds the key to that, I'm telling you. It really holds the key.
Tony, can I also say that one of the things I was impressed with last night was the community activity you have and your support for the Lily charity. I was really impressed with that. You've got the posters all around the ground, you've got the logo on your shirts, and you're giving something back to the community in that way.
Yeah, we got, we're lucky, sorry if you've got the time there, Dave, Jonathan Pearce, an ex-commentator mate of mine, still a mate, he does a fund for his little niece that died of a rare mitochondrial disease. And I'm lucky I've got a few wealthy friends. They sponsored our club, but they didn't want to sponsor our club because of the football. They wanted awareness for the Lily charity. So our players wear pink Lily signs on their shirts. And as Nick will tell you, all around our pitch, a third of the pitch, all the banners are for the Lily Foundation. Now, we've had film crews down there. Film's recently gone out. It's in the background of films. We have TV companies coming down there. If I do interviews, I try and do it with a Lily backdrop behind me. And it just raises awareness of that particular charity. Everyone's got a favourite charity, you know, and it's wrong to say one's better than the other. But, you know, if we can give a little bit of something to one of them, which we are, through the Lily Fund. Oh, but I'll tell you what, though, the funny thing was, it's pink, isn't it, Nick? And I'll tell you what, our team were playing like a bunch of girls at the start of the season.
I couldn't possibly comment.
I think we got carried away with a charity name. We were playing like a load of lilies, we were, yeah. No, but it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And you know, Nick's done it all his life, and he will do it all his life till he's away from us. But it's just a bug, isn't it, Nick? You know, yeah. you're working, you're doing your own work, yet you're thinking about non-league, aren't you, all the time?
And yeah, it's absolutely. Just like
me. I'm doing my commentary at Sky on a Saturday, QPR Man United, and I'll have my phone on the side, on silent, texting the scores through from our game and the scorers. And for the last 3 months, just give me the ump. But just recently, I've been okay, yeah.
So with the new stadium, Tony, is that going to be 3G or is that going to be grass?
That's going to be 3G. Hopefully, we're going to have two pitches. So that's going to sort all the kids out as well for their junior football, which is terrific. So they'll have they can practice their skills, you know, whatever. Come rain, come shine, come frost, there's going to be a facility there for them. So we'll have one pitch, which will be the main pitch for the reserves, first team, youth team, and then the other pitch, we got to rule our kids, which is brilliant. But it means us ground sharing next year with Walton and Hersham, and then the pair of us moving back into our stadium that's going to be built the season after with the help of the council. Elmbridge Borough Council have been terrific. But I can't wait, really, because our place deserves a facility like that. And with the help of the council, with the help of the Ryman's League, with the help of all the people around our clubs, it's going to be brilliant.
Well, you were saying about having two pitches there. We went to, people always say about Dutch football and that sort of side of it, and go and have a look. We were lucky as a club to take up the English mantle and go over to Holland last year to represent England in an under-12s international tournament and over there in Grinchem in Holland. And we went over there last year, and they'd got the same situation over there where they'd got a 3G surface, and at the back of the 3G surface inside this stadium, they actually had a grass surface so that the kids over there got to learn their skills not only on a 3G surface but also on the grass surface at the same time, which was absolutely fantastic, and been given the pleasure of actually hosting the tournament over here at Harlow in May of this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, for you to have the opportunity to go over there and see it firsthand and come back and convey that to everyone else. And then when you're going in front of councils, and with the help of the Premier League now, with the millions they're getting from the TV companies, they're putting a bit more into the game, particularly in sort of inner London areas where they're putting the 3G pitches in. It can only help. Not help just the kids with their technical skills, but get them off the streets, you know, because it's not like it used to be when I was there. You could go down the playground, you could stay down there till it was dark. Everyone was safe. It's not like that now. You have to have supervised football. You have to have it on a facility where, you know, you ain't going to get all mud and stuff all over you. And you know that particular evening, someone's going to be there running the facility. It's brilliant. And, you know, hopefully we're going to have more and more of it. And it'll breed better players and it'll breed better communities as well.
Well, someone emailed me a question today, and I had to look it up to see what they actually meant by it. They just gave me two words and said, and try and sneak it in somewhere when Tony's having a laugh and a joke. Just sneak two words into him and just see what he's got to say about it. So I said, OK, I'll try it. So here we go. Keith Hackett.
I thought you didn't want me to swear on the show. It's funny. It's funny because I got sent off, just in case anyone didn't know, in 1991 in the FA Cup semi-final, and obviously I shouldn't have got sent off. And I thought I had an exemplary record. I was booked seven times in 700 games, never ever sent off. And he sent me off in a semi-final for what was deemed as a professional foul. There was a rule change from the Thursday. He implemented it on a Sunday in an FA Cup semi-final. I thought, at the time, and I still do, it was an egotistical decision. I hadn't seen him since then, and I went and done an interview for a website, youaretheref.com. I think Mick might know it. Nick might know it. It's run by a load of referees, and I went and done an interview with him, and he apologised. And I said, that's a bit bleeding late. It's 1991. But
wouldn't have won the final, though, would you?
Oh, yeah, we would have won that easy. It was only Spurs, isn't it? It's been nice to get there. No, but, yeah, I see you've wound me up already. I've got the ump now.
We've got, as you probably well know, it was announced that at last year's Isthmian, should we call it by the right, I suppose, in the right names, AGM, that that our fantastic chairman, Mr. Alan Turvey, he's going to step down at the end of this year. I mean, what's your, you've seen, you've been around, oh, we lost him. Perhaps he didn't want to answer the question about Alan Turvey, we lost him.
Well, hopefully you'll call back and we'll see if we can find him, see if we can ask the question. But, I mean, we'll ask you, I was going to ask you that question a bit later on, just your thoughts on, you know, with Alan later on. And there is another question which I said we want to go into as well with yourself around that sort of thing as well at the end of it. But it's interesting though, isn't it? I suppose you can sort of, oh, there we go.
I thought that was something to do with Keith Hackett. Hello?
Sorry, Dave.
That's all right, mate. I thought we mentioned Keith Hackett and I thought we'd lost you for a minute.
No, you were saying about Alan Turvey,
yeah,
there, wasn't
he? Yeah, so Alan's sort of, you know, stepping down, you know, at the end of the year. I mean,
well, it's about Alan, I mean, he is 101 now, isn't he? he's had a great job. Good luck to him. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I mean, have you got anything you'd like to say? You can keep it clean if you possibly can. But I mean, you know, around Alan. I mean, because you know, I've known Alan sort of for a couple of years, and I think he's, you know, done a fantastic job, and you know, for it. And I think the Ryman Group might be pleased to see him go because he won't get fleeced at the do's anymore. But who knows? It might be Nick's turn to fleece him.
Well, anyone who served as long as Alan has served as a referee as well. He's a good referee, by the way, and he served and done his time for us in non-league football as well. Deserves every credit, you know. And if he does jack it in at the end of the season, if it's going to happen, well, let's hope Mr. Robinson's in there. Good luck, Nick.
Thank you very much.
That was the question we was going to ask him later on, actually. So we'll see what we'll go into more detail with Nick with that later. But and of course the other person as well that that you know very well will be on later on is I know present company excluded, of course, as well. Always been my favourite football player since I was knee high to a grasshopper. But he's Matt Letizia. I mean, what is the guy like off the pitch as well as on the panel that you do with him?
Oh, Matt's obviously everyone knows him on the telly and everything, but kids who have never seen Matt obviously have seen DVDs of his goals. And Matt was a maverick player, a one club man at Southampton, which was terrific. But everybody goes on about things at the end. You know, what did people win? Well, I mean, you know, he won medals. Matt didn't win any medals, but I tell you what, I'd have paid to go and watch Matt Letizia every day of the week. That was a footballer. That was a footballer who could make you get up out of your seat at one little bit of skill. He was a footballer, and he was just great to watch, Matt. And, you know, he jokes about himself being lazy and things like that. Maybe he was, but I'll tell you what, he did not have some skill. And I'd rather have not won anything and been Matt Letizia than won all the medals in the world and been an average player. I'd like to come back as a Matt Letizia, put it that way.
And he's just, I'm going to say, he's a fantastic guy when you speak to him, you know, a bit like yourself as well. You know, people see, you know, yourselves and what I'd class as like superstar football players on the TV and now gone into the celebrity side of it as well on the panels and stuff. You know, but people say, oh, are they like that in real life? And, you know, I've spoken to you the second time I've managed to be lucky enough to speak to yourself and Martin and of course, Matt later on as well. And people say that to me, and I say to them, these guys are just, everything that you see on the TV is exactly what they're like when you speak to them in face to face. And the same goes for yourself. I mean, I said,
my one day is a bit of an act, but Matt's a nice guy. I mean, I'm like Laurence Olivier, really. I mean, I'm really a nasty piece of work. But Matt Letizia, he's a gentleman. Matt's a gentleman. And, you know, you've got to have time for people, haven't you? Everybody's got an opinion about this game. That's why it's a great game. And I don't like people who don't listen to other people's opinions. You know, we was at the club last night watching the game. And I was in the bar, 12:30. I wasn't drinking and driving, by the way. I was being driven, but you know, who's in there talking with, you know, the opposition and a couple of other managers that come along, talking football. And it's brilliant, you know, and long may it continue, you know. It keeps us young, I would say.
D- As a non-league person as well, I mean, one of the things we've always spoken about, you do get like the non-league show on Radio 5 and stuff, but do you not think we would be lovely to actually get to see if it was a Ryman programme or a non-league programme in general actually on mainstream TV, i.e. sort of Sky or BT Sport, and actually having an hour programme, an hour and a half programme, maybe once a week where, you know, we're getting to see, non-league football and getting that promoted a bit more through the TV companies?
It would be great, wouldn't it? I mean, everybody associates, like people like myself, Matt and Martin, with non-league. And, you know, when we meet up, we all have a chat. I mean, Alan Parry, another commentator friend of mine, he had big dealings with Wickham when they were non-league, and then they got in the league, and he's still, you know, part of it and goes to their games and was on the board. But, yeah, it'd be nice if it was mainstream TV. But, you know, it's market forces, Dave, isn't it? You know, and everybody wants to watch the Premier League, La Liga or Champions League. We did have a bit of conference football on there, which was terrific for a little bit, didn't we? Mm. There was one station that was doing it. I can't mention them because I don't work for them. But, you know, it's really good. You know, I'm all friends. One of my best pals and still is, and we're all together regularly, is Alan Devonshire. He's manager at Braintree in the conference. Mm. You know, and when he was on the telly, the little cup run, I thought it was great. You know, brilliant. And, like, friends of mine who was watching it, they was going, "Carl, I think I'd rather watch that than you know, some of these people all diving about on a Saturday in the Premier League." It's a different type of game, is what I would say to people. You know, but the non-league, for me, has got so many attributes going about it that it's just a shame that we can't get bigger backers, sponsors. Raising the money to keep our little club running, it's a full-time job, you know, doing functions, doing memorabilia, selling them in auctions and, you know, doing sponsored runs and doing this and doing that to keep it alive. We need a few bigger sponsors to put it back into the grassroots football. With a little bit of luck, if we keep banging the drum, a few of us, you know, guys who are involved with the Premier football and the telly, we'll get that sort of stuff. But you have to keep banging the drum. But everybody I speak to who comes to our club or comes to non-league and comes for the night out, they love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah, and you say we sponsors. I mean, you know, I found it sort of firsthand because, as I said to you before, we've got this competition coming over here in May, you know, and trying to find a sponsor to actually sponsor that for sort of £3,000 or £4,000. That's a lot of money. But just to try and get this for the kids to be able to play football and give the kids, you know, maybe take them around Tottenham's ground or Tottenham's training ground, and so the kids come over and get to see something completely different. You know, but trying to get a sponsor for that is just, you know, it's so difficult to even try and find it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll work. I mean, getting sponsors for your shirts, getting sponsors for the stuff around the our ground. I mean, I have that, which is, I have a group of friends which I've been lucky to meet, and they do it for me, really, rather than the club. But it's great that they do. Once they see the club and what we do, then they want to become more involved with it, which is brilliant. Mm. Because, you know, some of them are just, "Oh, you're doing something, son? If you're doing it and you're backing it, it must be good. If you're doing it with the kids, bomb." They'll put whatever they put into it.
Yeah.
But they don't, some of them, you know, have got money and they don't even know what they're putting it into. But when they come down there and see where it has gone to, then you can get a few more quid out of them because they like where it's going. Mm. That's the secret. Yeah. Get them down there. Get them watching a the game.
Yeah, once you get someone down there, I found that over at Harlow, you get people down, they start watching, they get hooked. They want to come back again week after week. I'm just concerned that you're going to send the kids around to Tottenham. I mean, what's that, the losers? Tony, you can get the winners down at West Ham, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to go to Spurs, do you? Cool. What do you want to go to Spurs for?
Well, I'm an Arsenal fan, so, I'm not. I'm a Harlow fan, shall we say, but that's my second team Arsenal now. But it's one of those things where it's just the closest team so we can get them back to play football in the afternoon. So we've got to try and get them to somewhere and back again quickly. And, of course, the training ground's just around the corner, so it makes life a little bit easier.
That's one of the battles that we have as well, is like the boys will tell you in the studio there, is, you know, when we put our games on a Tuesday, and it's going up against Champions League night or Premier League night or Championship football, then what do? You want to come out on a cold night, or you're going to want to sit in at home watching it on the telly? And a lot of people do. Mm. So what we try and do is we've got it at our ground as well, where we've put Sky in, that they can nip in and out, watch a bit of that, come out again, you know, and do it like that. I think you have to try and get a mix of everything, but there's nothing like getting out, is there? Oh, you've got to get out.
Yeah, I must admit, you saying that about Champions League and that, I spoke to Billericay this year. We had them in the Essex Senior Cup, and they say that they actually changed their days to Mondays and to play on a Monday to get away from that Champions League slot so they can get more people in the ground. And they said it seems to be working.
Yeah, and the only trouble then is that you end up with Monday night football. It's just started, and now I'm hearing that there's going to be a new package next season. There may be a new package, don't quote me on it, but it's going to be on a Friday night. So not only, you'll have football on a Monday night, a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night. You've got the Europa Cup on a Thursday, and there's going to be a Premier League game on a Friday. And then, of course, you're back round to Saturday and Sunday. So you're not left with a night when there isn't football on. Mm. Which kind of hits us a little bit, doesn't it?
Big time, yeah.
But Friday is actually a little bit of a positive because we've tried to get Friday night football and clubs aren't interested because of the travel and trying to get part-timers to matches on a Friday night. So actually, if that's one match away from the Premier Division, it's one that we're not competing for that audience, and it means that the Premier Division sides that are playing that day, their supporters can be attracted to our grounds.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got to, obviously, when you're doing all these fixtures, and that must be a nightmare in itself for you, Nick. Sometimes you can bear it in mind that if you do have a Friday night game, that it's two local teams playing on a Friday, that we don't have to travel to Kent, for instance, or a Kent team doesn't have to travel to us. Because, as you know, all of you, travelling on a Friday night is a nightmare, isn't it? You know, 5 o'clock trying to get somewhere. It's a local game. It's not too bad, is it? So, but it must be a nightmare when you're trying to compile the fixtures, mustn't it? It's I wouldn't like to be you lot, I tell you. Cool.
We use a computer.
Yeah. Well, even they cock up, don't they, Nick?
Surely not.
I think one of the things, and one of the guests said to me, I think it was, I might get his last name wrong, so I apologise if I do. Is it Mike Bailey from Non-League Day? And he was in the studio and said, wouldn't it be lovely, he said, if every time it was actually Non-League Day, that the on Soccer Saturday, the four panellists on Soccer Saturday were watching maybe a conference game, a conference South or North game, a Ryman game, or a game like that, so that they were actually promoting sort of non-league football on that day rather than maybe doing Championship and League One.
Yeah, that would be good if it was on that non-league day, like you say. That's the only day it can happen. But I've got to tell you, the boys all still have a bet on the non-league football. They love it because they all, you know, like there's the soccer six or whatever you call it. So when they have that non-league day, you have to bet on the non-league, don't it? That's when I come to the four boys. That's when I nick the money off them. Because they ain't got a clue.
Except for Matt, I suppose. It'd be the only other one.
Oh, no, he's all right. Matt knows. Yeah.
It's great talking to to yourself as well. I mean, do you get yourself as well up to the Ryman Awards dinner?
Well, I haven't been for the last couple of seasons because I've been working. That's the only reason I can't go. But if I don't go, we're always represented by Nick and I, the Saunders boys, who are our directors at our club.
But there's no football this year, so we trust you'll be with us.
I'll be with you then. The only trouble is you'll have me up there singing, talking, doing everything. Medal presentations, the lot.
Well, right? So we can sell the tickets, that's fine.
Yeah, well, I'll be there, Nick. If I'm not working, I'm there, mate.
Good.
It could be a Soccer Saturday panel. It'll be you up there. There'll be Martin up there. There could be Matt up there. We could even have a soccer Saturday panel up there.
Yeah, we'll be fighting to get our words in, won't we?
Listen, Tony, it's been fantastic talking to you. We'll let you go because I know you're a very, very busy man, but it'd be fantastic to speak to you again later on in the year. And, a massive thank you for giving up your time tonight. And we wish yourself and Wharton Casuals all the very, very best for the rest of the season.
That's a pleasure, Dave, and no problem. You ring any time and keep it going. Keep it going in there, you know. And good luck to you boys in there as well. And Nick, I'll probably speak to you tomorrow again, won't I?
Okay, will do.
See you later.
Bye, Tony. Bye-bye. Cheers, bye.